Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with the time of petition. If you would join me in standing and singing this morning, One Thing Remains.
We're pleased this morning to continue the Grounded series, this time the theme Grounded in Grace. And Jolie Payden returns to campus after almost a year, graduating last May 2016. Jolie is an EMU alum from St. Joseph, Illinois. And during her time at EMU, she was involved in campus ministries, cross-country, track, and everything in between. And I think a lot of us can underscore that, everything in between. She now lives in the Washington, D.C. area, working, coaching, and living missionally. And in D.C., she works as a member services manager for Back on My Feet, a nonprofit that uses running, community, and various resources to combat homelessness. Outside of work, Jolie coaches high school cross-country and track and serves with the Aletheia Church Plant in College Park, Maryland. In 2014, she published Spiritual Runner, A Runner After God's Own Heart, devotional book for runners, and I think more than runners too, devotional book for Christians, for those seeking God's heart. On her blog, she adds a few things. She was a then competitive runner, now a recreational runner, since 2006. She loves getting to know new people over a run, so if anyone wants to run with her maybe this afternoon, she might want to do that. She is a believer in the organic, mission-centered local church, and she enjoys fluffy puppies and peanut butter, but never together. The theme verse she has on her blog is from Isaiah 30, verse 21. Listen to these words. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Welcome, Jolie.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Whew. All right, so this morning we're going to be talking about grounded in grace, and one thing that Lana had talked to me about was something around evangelism as well. And evangelism is kind of makes you cringe a little bit when you hear the word sometimes, maybe in some Christian circles specifically. And so I asked some friends what they thought of when they thought of evangelists or evangelism. And you think of the street corner preacher, fire and brimstone. Google thought of these things, which I think are funny. I've got a message for you. And we're apparently this is from a Steve Martin movie that we were informed of. So very in your face, sometimes we would prefer to be more relational, build this relationship over time. But what does it look to have evangelism grounded in grace is what we're going to look at this morning. And so an evangelist in itself is somebody that declares good news. And so it comes from the Greek word good news or gospel in the New Testament. And we all, I think, are evangelists for something, whether the good news in our own life, whether it be Jesus is for some not. But I think about evangelism in my own work. So like Brian said, I work with Back on My Feet. I literally go into homeless shelters and recruit individuals to run at 5:45 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I have to be an evangelist in a sense of this is a program that works. I've seen it. I share testimonies. This guy, 65 years old, ran 1,600 miles in 3 years, 6 half marathons, used heroin for 40 years, and I become an evangelist of Back on My Feet. And so think about your own life. What are you an evangelist for? What do you find yourself talking about a lot? And that is perhaps your good news. And so I have to look at my own life and think, does the gospel of Jesus Christ fall into this category of good news in my own life? And how am I communicating that to others? So I want to look at somebody in scripture today that it's a weird story. How many have read Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Yeah, maybe a few. And so as I was going through and praying over this, I came to this passage, which I've come to love over the last couple weeks. But we're going to read it, and I'll kind of walk through it as we go. So to give some backstory, Philip is one of the original people that were sent out to share the gospel of the Church of Acts that we read about. And he was first in Samaria and had a lot of success there. A lot of people were coming to know the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit calls him away. And so I think that's a lesson in itself, is that he doesn't exactly tell him where to go, but he says, "And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from the Jerusalem to Gaza." Well, that's not very specific. Just head down this road, okay? I'm calling you away from all this success, and I want you to just walk. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, which means that he was a Jew, but he was a foreigner, so he was coming from Ethiopia at this time and then going back. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So, one, we see that this guy has a lot of money, two, because he's sitting in a chariot, and he's reading a scroll, which wasn't common to have just a scroll casually hanging out with you. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. So now I'm picturing this guy riding through the desert on this road, and then Philip's just hanging out, and then he just goes up and is next to this chariot and listening now to what he's reading. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading that Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. This is my favorite part. And they said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So, random, weird story. This guy's baptized, he comes down, the eunuch just keeps going, and then Philip is who knows where preaching the gospel, and everything's cool. Okay. But I think that this passage teaches us a lot about how to pursue evangelism. One of my favorite things, and I'm kind of going to go through some things that stuck out to me, is that Philip's willingness to go where the Lord told him was one of the biggest things, is that he didn't ask questions of the random location, but he just went. And kind of what Brian said, that's one of my life verses, that Isaiah 31, whether you turn to the right or to the left, you'll hear a voice saying, "This is my way, walk in it." And so you may not know the exact direction or path of your life, but as long as we walk in obedience step by step, the Lord's gonna continue to tell you where you need to go and how you're gonna get there. Philip is bold in his approaching of this random guy in a chariot. He goes up and he asks questions. I think that's one of the challenges that some Christians face, is we want to tell people. We want to not necessarily have a conversation, but we want to give a lecture sometimes. So how often do we approach people with questions and say, do you understand what you're reading? How are you engaging this? What is this about? And then the best part is that he invites him up into the chariot with him. Philip doesn't make him come down out of his chariot. I think that this speaks so much of what evangelism looks like in my life. It's not something that's additional, but something that's intentional. Something where I'm going to where people are at. I'm joining their spaces. Maybe me being uncomfortable in myself, but going to where they're at, talking to them, and hearing what they have to say. And Philip knows the word of the Lord. He says, as he's reading this, he connects it to, that shows God's sovereignty too. We don't have to do all the work. This guy's reading about Jesus, a prophecy about Jesus, and he just comes up and is able to explain it to him. And so prayer and preparation, but we do not do the work. The Lord brings us the people that he would have for us so that we can share the goodness that's already in us. And ultimately, he explains. And so he knows the goodness of Christ for himself. And so what I think about when I think grounded in grace, Philip has to know why this news is good in order to share it. I think we are not evangelists because we don't know the good news of Christ, death, life, and resurrection. That's not in the right order. But we don't know what it's done for us, so how do we share it? And that's one thing that I think is challenging for myself is, am I somebody that is defined by hope and joy and that my identity rests in the Lord alone rather than something else in my work that I become distracted? And Philip feels so compelled that there's nothing he can do but share this good news out of that. Mm-hmm. So if you're not compelled by the gospel and to share it, then it probably hasn't changed you enough. And I say this as somebody that I struggle with this, that, well, I don't go out on the street corner. I don't think God calls us, not everybody, to do that. But am I being intentional in the spaces that I occupy to share what God's done in my life and the way that it's transformed my heart? And it becomes the natural overflow of my heart. And so my favorite, I keep saying my favorite, I just love the Bible. But my other favorite, you're not supposed to have favorites either. my other favorite thing is really the backstory of this story. And so, is this the right one? Yeah. So as you see here, first of all, what is a eunuch? It's somebody that's been castrated, usually because they're working for the royal harem, or he, in this case, he's managing finances. So you become obedient, you become a slave to the queen that you're working for when you're a eunuch. No other loyalty. And as I was reading this, and it's also something that's not going to have descendants. You don't have an inheritance. You don't have anything. But I was reading this, and I was like, wow, if I was somebody in his position who is not going to have a family, who perhaps has felt humiliated and deprived of justice, perhaps, how relevant this would be for this man. It says, in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from earth. This is talking about Jesus, but what I think is really cool is how Philip is able to, probably as he explains the gospel to this guy, realize how much Jesus identifies with him in his struggle or in his life. And then in Isaiah, this is really cool. It says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give my temple and its walls, a memorial and a name. Eunuchs were not allowed to sacrifice the same way that regular Jewish people were in the temple. So now Philip is able to tell him of his restoration in the kingdom of God, and he's a foreigner. So this is good news for this man that was once outside. He's still seeking the Lord. He was still going to the temple, but he was outside, and the gospel is something that's restoring him to the kingdom of God. And it says, and to the foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord and minister to his name, to the love of the name of the Lord, to be his servants, all who keep his Sabbath, these people will be honored as well. And so how cool is it that this gospel message is just not that Jesus is going to save your life, but it's a whole restoration. And I feel like sometimes I don't fully understand that, so it's hard for me to communicate that with others. And so what does it mean to be grounded in grace as we pursue evangelism or pursue intentionality in our own lives? I think we first have to know what grace is. So I shall define that. In Ephesians it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, but is a gift from God. So grace is the free gift to live in the goodness of all that God's given you. The joy, the freedom, here and now, but also for all of eternity. And so if we are going to share that with others, we have to first know it. And that's what I've been saying. We can't give something to someone that we don't have ourselves. And I think we try to grit up faith, but that's something that you conjure up. That's something that's given to you by the Lord, and it's a natural overflow of your heart to share those things. Grace is something that we do not deserve. And, man, grace is something that we do not deserve. We don't deserve to live in freedom or in joy, but because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross that then brings us into right relationship with the Lord, that's the only way that we can live in pure freedom and pure joy from what the world has put around us. But God gives us life and purpose, and I think that's the coolest thing about God's grace, is that I no longer have to walk through this life trying to figure out what I'm doing, but he gives us a sense of purpose and what we're doing. And how cool that this guy now has purpose, that he can go about rejoicing, knowing that his hope is not found and what he's going to be doing on earth, but this inheritance, this blessing in heaven that he's been given. And so we come to the, but how do we do this? How do we share the grace of God with others? And I have an interesting story. A few summers ago, I was living back in Illinois over the summer, and one of my coaches had been involved in, when I was in high school, had been involved in some legal stuff, and basically I see him as the Ethiopian eunuch, kind of set apart, kind of people, small town, people talk, and it's not a healthy thing. And so every day when I'd run by his house, I would just pray for him, and I told the Lord, if one day his garage was open, I would go talk to him, you know, and just have, and I didn't have a great relationship with him when I was in high school, so that was a stretch. It wasn't like we were buddy-buddy, and so every day I would run by and just pray for him. And so one evening, I remember I was watching America's Got Talent, and it just kept getting later and later. Those episodes go for hours. But I was watching, I was like, I gotta go run on my track belt. I just gotta go run. I gotta get my run in. And I'm like, nah, it's not gonna happen. I'm like, no, I gotta get my run in. So finally, it's like 9:30. I don't suggest this, by the way. I went out for my run, and I just did like a normal route, whatever, and I run by his house, and the garage door was open. I was like, ah, just pray for him, you know. And so I'm just running, and then I get probably not even a few blocks down, and my heart is, like, beating in my chest. I know I have to go back. And so I round the corner, and I go back. And I'm not even kidding. It was a few minutes later, and the garage door was shut. And I was like, but I know it was the Holy Spirit. I go up to his door. And I seriously, even thinking back, I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking. But it was the Holy Spirit, you know, just being obedient, being bold. And so I go up to his door, and I ring the doorbell, knock, whatever. And his wife answers the door, and I said, you know, is Coach so-and-so here? And I had graduated like 4 years ago, and she's like, yeah, who are you? And I'm like, oh, just Joey, like one of his athletes. She's like, yeah, he's in the garage and like it's open. I'm like, no, it's not. I know. Like that would have been a lot easier. And so she like opens up the garage door and he's standing there and he's, you know, he's smoking and he like he is visibly not okay. And it had been a while since this stuff had happened. And so I went in and I just talked to him and I asked him how he was doing. And it was one of the most powerful moments of this grown man in tears in front of me, simply asking him how he was doing, telling him that no matter what he had done, he was not separated from the love of God. And with the grace of Jesus Christ, he can still have a life that's purposed and good for him. And that God doesn't cause these bad things, but he redeems all of them. And for his glory. And that was something, we talked for 2 hours in his garage. I was a little concerned that my parents weren't concerned that I was back. Like, it's like 11 o'clock at night and I'm just out for a run. No. So I like busted home probably the fastest 3 miles I had ever run in my life. Adrenaline, that's the way to run a PR this weekend at ODAX. Just go share the gospel with somebody and then go race, okay? Done that before too, it worked. So I ran home and I had to wake up my mom. They didn't care, but I then had to tell. I was so excited. Not because that I shared the gospel with someone or that I shared this hope, but because it really did bring some sort of restoration and bring maybe things planting a seed. I did not do anything, but he had so many things leading up to this instance that were pointing him. He had other students texting him, wishing him Bible verses and praying for him. And so it wasn't like I did anything, but it was these seeds that were planted that then brought this excitement in my life, and I hope in his. And I have not seen him for years, but I pray all is well with him. And so if anything, it was an encouragement to me. It was an encouragement to him, and it taught me a lot about being obedient, because if I would have just kept on running, probably would have felt guilty and would have wondered what would happen the whole time. So I always like to say, Satan says stay, God says go. Whenever you're wondering, Satan says stay home, be comfortable, do what you normally do. God says go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He tells Abraham to go to the country. He tells everyone to go. And sometimes you stay, but often it is to go because it's uncomfortable to go. Yeah. One word that somebody gave me, am I on the right side? It's not necessarily about what God's doing through you, but in you. Because the things that are going to happen through you are only because God is working through you. And often I think I need to do, I need to go, I need to do all of these things in order to accomplish things. But really the work is done within ourselves and those things naturally overflow into our lives. And that has been encouraging to me to realize then it takes the pressure off that I don't have to, you know, intentionally like abhor my coworkers with Jesus all the time. And it's like, man, that's going to naturally overflow and that the Lord's going to make opportunities. He's going to say, go into the chariot. Somebody's going to invite me in. And so it does require action, but it's not my work that has to be done. It's the Lord's work that has to be done. And we have to be obedient. Another thing that's really convicted me lately is I'm displaying the gospel in my life. The good news of Jesus is, do you live differently than the people around you? Could people line up my life next to my coworkers and say, you know, your life does look different? Or people that I interact with, does your life actually look different? Like, is your life transformed by the joy and the hope of Jesus? Do you freak out about tests more than anybody else? That's what I'm convicted of. I get so frazzled when stuff happens, and I'm like, man, am I living like a Christian right now? And I'm like, whew, you know? And so being able to check yourself and knowing that it's not what God is doing through you, but in you, and that people are going to see what's happening in you more than what's happening through you, if that makes sense. Do you have hope? Do you live knowing that you have been given grace, free gifts every day, simply to breathe and to interact and to live? And then finally, we started with evangelism, but I would say that we can't start with evangelism. We have to start with knowing the grace ourselves. We have to start with knowing the goodness of God, and those things, like I said, happen naturally. So we have to first know grace in order to share it. You'd be a pretty crappy salesman if you had never used your product and you told everyone how great it is. You're going to be able to tell someone something that you really believe in. If it's transforming you, then they're going to want a piece of it. And then ultimately, everyone's going to benefit for the restoration of the kingdom of God. So an easy way to kind of walk through this is, what has God done in your life that you can take absolutely no credit for? That is grace. For me, it's my family. I shouldn't have to look to see what God has done in my life that I can take no credit for. But my whole life, God has shown me exactly where I need to go next. And I realize that that is not common, but I am so thankful. Like, coming to EMU, I was from Illinois. I didn't even know what Mennonites were before I came to EMU. I'm not even kidding. But God opened the doors, and I knew this is where I needed to go. I went on the Middle East cross-cultural. Again, not something that I anticipated doing, but that changed my life. And then that just has been each path. And going to D.C., I had an internship. So all of these little things, that is God's grace that I see poured out on my life. And that is easy for me to share because I know I had nothing to do with it besides being obedient. My family, my ability to run, my ability to relate together to others, that has nothing to do with me. I know that that is the grace of God. What has he changed in my life? I used to be a very anxious person. I would throw up before every single cross-country and track race in high school. I'm not kidding, and college, a few of them. I got over it. But so God seriously transformed my heart that I didn't have to do that anymore because my identity was not found in what I did or who I knew or what the outcome is, but it was found in Christ, knowing that he was the only thing that was my identity. And outside of that, I just had to run and live and serve to please him alone. And so I see that change, and I can thank the Lord for that, knowing that that wasn't me. He's working on fear of man in me too, man, not caring what other people think. And then thinking about who needs hope in your life. For me, I coach high school cross country, and we had state on this last Tuesday in Maryland, and one of my guys got third in the state, awesome, but he could have won. And that's just a really hard place to be. But to be able to sit down with somebody and tell them that, again, that's not your value. That's not why we love you. That's not why you were created. Sure, it's a good thing, and it's a gift, and it's okay to be upset. But at the end of the day, that's not who you are. You're not the runner. You know, you are someone who runs. And so who needs that hope that their identity is not in their schoolwork, in their profession? And being able to identify those people in your life, seeing how it's changed you, and being able to share that hope with them, that's what evangelism is. So I'll invite Grayson and the guys back up. So maybe it is you that needs the hope. I know I need the hope every day. But as we go into this last song, it talks about the breath in our lungs, and so we pour out our praise. If you're struggling to find what grace looks like in your own life, listen to yourself breathe. Do you do anything to make yourself breathe? Did you wake up this morning and say, I'm going to breathe today? No, that is a gift from God. That is grace just poured out in your life in itself. And so if this grace is in us, then we should do nothing but be able to pour out grace and gratitude to others as we pour out our praise. And so the final verse that I have is, before the coming of this faith, we are held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we may be justified by faith. Now we no longer need this law because we've been justified by Christ. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is nor male nor female. And for you, all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs. And I love this because it says you are heirs, you inherit something. So the Ethiopian, this would have been incredible. This is the gospel for him. He can live into this inheritance that he is now a child of God, and he can have the Holy Spirit, which then cries, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir as well.
Join me in worshiping. You can stand, please. Thank you, Julie. Mm-hmm.
Be seated. Thank you, Jolie. Thank you, Grayson and team. We know that we're over time. If you need to leave to get to class, then by all means, go. If you're available for the next hour, Jolie will be in the coffee house for open for conversation related to the themes of the chapel or otherwise, and also from 11:30 to about 1 in the dining hall around one of the round tables. Join us for a focused conversation on evangelism. Thank you for being with us beyond the chapel. And there's always that option of the afternoon run, right? To get to know you. Friday announcements.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Dwight Schrute.
My name is Pope Francescos, and I love pizza and blessing people.
That's very unprofessional. Stop your behavior.
Yes, sir.
We're trying to get as much work done as we can here in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Ooh. So I'm here to deliver the announcements as efficiently as possible.
Well, we want to integrate some, faith in this because I'm the Pope and I love
Speaking
God.
Of faith, Jolie Payden will be speaking in chapel today. I assume that you have just heard this speech. So
it was a beautiful speech, Jolie. I hope post-grad has worked out for you. I don't know how I know you because I'm the Pope, but I do in this situation.
Men's volleyball is playing Cairn at 6 o'clock.
Jerry Holsoppel's 6-0, which is...
I think that's a concert.
Yeah, it's a concert.
The CAC movie night featuring Loving...
Starring me.
Starring...
Loving man in the world.
Starring Pope Francis, who marries an interracial couple.
Yeah.
We'll be playing first in the Science Center and then at Common Grounds on Friday and Saturday, both at 9.
Men's volleyball versus Rutgers Newark.
Newark is in New Jersey, which is next to Pennsylvania, which contains Scranton, which is the greatest city on earth.
Yeah. Men's volleyball versus Bard. I'm not sure where that one is.
Baseball versus Penn State. Penn State is a large school. That's a fact.
I hope they teach prayer in that school. Mostly Mennonite, mostly a cappella is my favorite radio station, and it's at 8 a.m. on Sundays at 91.7 FM online at WemCradio.
False. Oh, wait, you're right.
Yeah. And celebration, praise and worship's at 9, led by me, because I'm Pope Francis, and I...
This has been a very efficient and professional Friday announcements.
Bless you.